Every Wednesday, we check in with Hannah and Dane from Flavor HD. If you have not visited the website, please do so. I think you'll enjoy it. It's Flavor HD. It's right there on your computer. Hi, Hannah. Hi, Dane.
Well, hello.
How are you guys?
Did you say Anna?
Hannah.
Oh.
Hannah.
I go by both.
Drop the H. Keep it simple. Yeah. You know, on Ellis Island, there were so many Hannahs who became Annas.
Right.
Right, because it was just too difficult for whoever that guy was.
And there was an H shortage because of the war.
And there's so there is, that's true. And I have two of them, and that didn't seem fair.
Nope.
So
got to share.
I do. And also, you know, our. We don't say our.
No.
So, I mean, some people
the
just,
H is
it's
silent.
The silent
all,
H.
All part of the letter redistribution
sometimes
project.
People would like me to be silent, right. And that's all right also.
No, please.
Stop ordering the H's.
That's our catchphrase. Big news from General Mills, Hannah and Dane.
Oh,
big news.
Huge.
He's my favorite general from the war.
General Mills.
I just saluted him. yes, this is a huge thing. General Mills has announced that they're going to take all the artificial flavoring out of their cereals effective 2017. Artificial flavors and colors, which is big because if you think about the breadth of their product line and who they're really looking to attract, it's the kids.
All right, so on all their cereals, I'm sure if you go down the cereal aisle of any store, you notice it's a lot of weird fruit-flavored cereals. I'll take blueberry, for instance.
Sure, that's a great one.
It says artificial flavoring on there.
Yep.
So to use real blueberry flavoring in blueberry is going to cost them a lot more money. So that means we'll be paying a lot more money for the cereal, doesn't it?
Well, we're already paying quite a lot for cereal. It's not cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, if you pay attention. But what they're going to do, so let's say Lucky Charms, Cocoa Puffs, Wheaties, those are all contain artificial products,
right.
Artificial ingredients.
Love Lucky Charms.
And now what they're going to do is they're just going to flavor it and color it with juices.
Probably won't be as good.
I don't know that I
don't know. You know what? Here's the thing. It's like my analogy with the television. When you go shopping for a new TV, you know which one is the best one in the store.
Right.
Right?
You get what you pay for.
Because you can see, you're comparing. Yeah. But when you bring it home, it's the best one in the room.
Right.
So once you eat the new version, that's all you're going to have.
So what she's saying is get used to terrible tasting cereals.
No.
And I'm anxious to try it and see if I can even tell the difference.
I bet I would. I don't know that you will.
I think we should start ordering. Lucky Charms, just in case they're not good afterwards.
Lucky Charms.
In the theory, it should be better because if they're using fruit juices, you go, well, fruit tastes like whatever fruit it represents. But what happens in the fruit business, I know you see this all the time, they cut whatever flavored juice you're having with less expensive juice, like apple juice.
True.
Like so many times you'll get pomegranate juice, but if you read the label, pomegranate is like the eighth or ninth ingredient on there. They're cutting it with all kinds of other juice flavors.
Right. And for a specific marketing reason, pomegranate has a lot of antioxidant power.
Yeah, right.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the greatest tasting juice. It's very tart.
Yeah.
If you
That's a good point because sometimes they have to add other things to make it taste better. But I think in this case, they're going to be taking away the artificial things, which I think we all agree are probably what makes it taste good.
Yeah.
They've announced that next year their focus will be on cereals that contain marshmallows, because of course those are very colored, right? There's not necessarily much flavor to them, but they are definitely colored for your visual pleasure. And they've actually began reformulating colorful cereals like Twix about 3 years ago. So they've been working on this.
All right, if General Mills is doing it now, then the other Kellogg's and Post and all the other major cereal companies will have to follow suit.
Absolutely, if they're not already. They could, you know, we didn't know General Mills was working on Twix, but they have been.
What's Twix besides a great candy bar?
I'm sorry, what did I say?
Trix?
Trix.
Trix are for kids. Twix
is how great ideas happen, though, Wendy.
Twix,
I think Twix
delicious.
Cereal is. My kids would like that.
They should make Twix cereal.
I got confused because there's a Reese's Puff cereal. Trix are for kids. Yes, Trix is the one they've been working on. But you're absolutely right. We've seen this trend coming in other categories of foods, such as Yum Brands doing the same thing where they're pulling out their artificial ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
That announcement was made. So there are category leaders who are making these choices, and we're going to see it either has to be a choice because that's where the market is going. That's what the consumers are demanding, or that's where they're perceiving the consumer demand is going to be, and they want to be ahead of that curve. Or Or maybe they're worried that there's going to be some shifts in what they're allowed to use, and they might as well be ahead of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a possibility for both cases.
One door window shuts and another one opens, and you wonder if this kind of is going to move and be one of those powerful validations for people like Dan Haggerty. If, I think that's his name, right? The original spokesman for the Grape Nuts brand. Maybe he'll come back as a...
Did you know pine cones are edible?
That was, that was Yul Gibbons, right?
Oh,
the late Yul Gibbons used to do those.
Part of this picnic table's edible.
Right. he was just eating everything. He was an eating machine.
Tree bark is edible.
Right. Right.
It'll be the only tree bark in the room, though.
Right. We're seeing more and more fast food places put limitations on kids' meals, too. I've seen a lot of that lately where... I think the first thing they did was you could substitute French fries. You could get like a cup with apple slices or something. Mm-hmm. And now they're saying on kids' meals, some fast food places, you can't, pop is not an option. You have to have either juice or water. That's it.
I haven't seen that. I know.
I would never go there then.
Jamie,
really? Would you stay away just
Oliver,
based on that?
Who does a ton with healthy eating, now has a surcharge for sugary beverages. So you can get them. But you
just
have to pay a
little
bit extra.
And that's terrible. If you're going to Mickey D's or whatever, you know what you're getting. So you're going there for a purpose. If you want to eat healthy, maybe you should make your own lunch.
Yeah, I mean, McDonald's has made that an option where you can get a bottle of water instead of a soda for your
kids. But they don't charge you extra.
No.
That shouldn't be.
But you can also substitute apple slices. They were doing cuties, which are those clementines.
Oh, right, yeah.
That has since ceased, their partnership with them. But you can, and they've also made it so the Happy Meals have a very, very small portion of French fries. I mean, it's not.
Oh, really?
It's very tiny.
The Mighty Kids meal.
If you get the Mighty Kids meal, you get a bigger portion of French fries.
And a bigger drink.
But
how deceptive to call it the Mighty Kids meal instead of, like, the Chunky Kids meal. Why don't they just call it that?
Husky Kids meal.
Just, you know what? I've got two kids. The four-year-old gets a Happy Meal, and the seven-year-old gets a Mighty Kids meal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, right. It's just a bigger portion.
It's just a bigger portion of the same thing. So,
but it's clever wording, though, isn't it?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But, for example, if we both...
I get it for myself.
If they both did nuggets, right?
Yeah.
So the Happy Meal is a four-piece, and the Mighty Kids Meal is a six-piece nugget.
Four is just not enough.
Well, it is for a four-year-old.
It's not
one,
when I was
one per year.
One for every year.
One per year from McNugget. And you tell your kid that, too. You can have one now, and a year from now, you can have
happy fifth
McNugget.
Birthday. You know what that means.
Yay, an extra nugget.
Well, you wonder, as it has happened in the media side, where it used to be like three channels and a blurry, Channel 32, where now, you know, there's so many different media options. On the food side, you look at a company like McDonald's that still has this huge footprint, but they've kind of contracted in the last, you know, for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
At what point will they realize that maybe they shouldn't step too far outside themselves and try to be all things to all people and just say, hey, we got a pretty good slice of this pie.
Right.
And that's what it's going to be because there's just so many options.
Yeah.
Even McDonald's is making choices that are leaning towards the healthier side. Their chicken is now, I think, hormone-free, and they're really getting
their
to the point
their sirloin burger is really good.
That's
is
the
it?
Real high-end.
Kinda...
Is that like the $5 hamburger?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a $5 hamburger.
It's close. Right? It's real close.
It replaces...
Those were good.
And this is just like that. And sirloin is lower in fat than chuck, so... Mm-hmm. It's pretty good.
It's a healthier option.
The thing with McDonald's, which is, and I've been obviously a devotee since I could, you know, recognize the sign, you know, on the highway. But I always feel guilty but they have an amnesia drug that they put into it where I forget how bad I felt after the last time. I'm like, this seems like a good idea. And then like two Big Macs later, I'm like, what happened?
Yeah.
You know, you just come out of this haze and say, I know better. So, well, kudos to them and the science.
Yeah.
I went to McDonald's three separate times yesterday and I feel guilty about it.
Three times in a day?
Yes.
Yeah. No, you're supporting American food industry. You're fine.
Dylan wanted a snack wrap for lunch.
Yeah.
And then I went later and got myself a iced vanilla latte, and then he wanted another snack wrap later because the snack wrap isn't really that big, so I went three separate times yesterday.
Wow.
It happens.
You can have
it
your
happens.
Own office in there someday.
I should.
Special parking right up front.
Hannah is cheer dancing, and it just makes me laugh. Not that it looked bad, but her face was so serious.
Right. Well, you have to be serious.
Yeah.
That's how I dance at the clubs.
Yeah.
When's the last time you've gone to a club? And I don't mean
Thursday.
A club sandwich.
I go all the time.
Are you always at the club?
No, I actually, I dance all the time when I host, like Girls Night Out. Every time we play a lot of happy, fun, upbeat music, and I'm always cheer dancing.
Well, how can you not?
And
it's
I encourage people to WGNRadio.com, watch live.
You guys started a feature a couple weeks ago that has to do with spices. Each week you select a different spice, you highlight it, you tell us what we can do with that spice.
We call it the Spice is Right.
Spice is Right.
The Spice is Right,
and today's winner is?
Come on down.
Today's winner, come on down, cumin.
Is it cumin?
Cumin. I was actually not here last week, so cumin got bumped to this week. My apologies to cumin. We ran out of time. It is a relative to can be used in both its whole and ground form. Here's what's interesting. The distinctive flavor and aroma is what makes it such a staple in so many dishes like curries, chilies, salsas, Mexican cuisine. But it's also what makes that distinctive smell come through in people's sweat who eat the cuisines a lot.
It just permeates your skin.
It does. It permeates your sweat. It is the essential, it's the oil compounds that are contained within the seeds. So if you eat curries a lot or eat food that have this in it, that's what people can smell.
And it can last for quite a while, can't it?
It can.
Yeah.
So it adds a warmth to the food, and that is what brings the different flavor and smells into it is the actual the oil within the seed. It's mentioned in both the Old and New Testament and has been used medicinally, though not frequently in modern day. It is incredibly rich in iron, so if you are anemic, it is something to consider adding to your food. So go make yourself some salsa and add some cumin.
It's mentioned in the Old and New Testament.
That's some biblical street cred right there.
Yeah.
This is when James the Lesser worked for the Durkees people, right? I remember there was a quick scene where he
Durkees was his first name. Right?
That's right.
You guys mentioned the shoes, the Crocs, the baby, boom, sales are crazy.
Right.
You wonder if there was some kind of ancient equivalent where, hey, you get mentioned in the Bible.
That's
human guys are making
the Bible
some money.
Was like the original Oprah.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean,
if it was
in the Bible, it was automatically bestseller.
Excellent. That's good news.
Yeah, so that's cumin. That's our Spices Right Spice of the Week.
Catch us up. This is really important. We're going to do a preview next week about Taste of Chicago. That happens next week. But first, there's some Graham Elliott news in regard to Taste of Chicago, right?
Well, he's going to be participating, and they've kind of moved it in different directions. Of course, they cut a week off, right? So it isn't like two straight weeks of craziness. They elevated the food by having some food trucks in there, which are great.
And then also have the pop-up restaurants.
The pop-up restaurants for like Check Please. You know, they've highlighted some of those, and David Manilow has helped curate some of those. So we're getting some really cool places instead of just, of course, the beloved, you know, the Rainbow Cone and, you know, the Connie's Pizza. I think some of those things are still there. But now adding a little star power with Graham Elliott, with his food hits, the equivalent of walking on sunshine, right, from a food perspective with the lobster corn dog.
Yeah, and he's going to be at Daily Plaza today for the Taste of Chicago preview, and he's going to be handing out a limited number of samples of his truffled popcorn, which Parmesan, chive, and sea salt.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yum, yum.
With the lobster corn dog that you just mentioned, is the lobster in the hot dog part, or is it in the breading part?
It's inside the breading. So it's like it appears to the untrained eye like a normal standard issue corn dog,
right?
But inside are little bits of lobster.
Oh, that sounds really good.
It is really good. Well, there's so many good things happening all around Chicago. Naperville Rib Fest is coming up, and it's coming up July 2nd through the 5th. And we're seeing, you know, those normal fests where what would be the popular thing would be maybe I got a dunk tank or maybe some kind of carnival games where you can't win because the basket is actually smaller than the ball.
Well, there's always that. Sure.
Well, now food has become such a big part of things. Of course, Rib Fest makes sense. You know, it's about ribs. But they've actually kind of diversified, and now they've got extra things going on. They've got Mexican food. They've got a flavored watermelon stand.
What does that mean?
Isn't the flavor watermelon?
I would think so. And that was one of my, you know, as an inquisitive, you know, journalist type, I was like, wait a minute, what's to the bottom of this? But they've got
or vodka.
Well, they've
flavored
got
watermelon?
Banana watermelon, tangerine watermelon, rum. I could see that. Raspberry,
that
peach.
Makes sense.
That's one of the things.
I know how to make that. rum watermelon.
Yeah, you just throw some rum.
It's much like you put a vodka in the watermelon. You bore the hole.
Yeah.
And then you dump the bottle into the watermelon, and then just let it absorb.
So is that the principle that they use with all the other flavors too?
I don't think the banana would infuse the same way.
That sounds interesting. I can't even imagine what that would taste like.
It's got to have a dark room, right?
Yeah.
Maybe some Barry White, and you just take a banana and a watermelon, and you just leave them alone. And then some magical things happen. But Hugo's Frog Bar will be there with crab cakes, and we've got...
I love that place.
Bacon sausage on a stick.
I love crab cakes.
So more than just ribs there. We're going to talk with Don Emery a little bit later on today.
Last year was the first year they did a different version of Taste of Chicago. They shortened it. Everything you just mentioned, was it 2 years ago?
I think it was 2 years ago. This might be the third year.
Are they happy with these changes? Do they like the differences? They are.
Well, what they're trying to do is make it a destination for people to come, not just once, you know, because sometimes, I mean, I had gotten to the point where I'd seen it all. I didn't need to go, but once every few years, you know, where now they want you to not only go once every year, but also maybe come back, you know, for two or three times during the festival.
Yeah. And the other thing is, too, it was kind of the same restaurants every year, which is, you know, to Dane's point, you just didn't have to go anymore. Now what they've done with these pop-up restaurants and the food trucks is they've given people a lot more variety and the ability to try restaurants that they haven't been able to. It was a cost prohibitive thing for these restaurants, not just to get the booth space, but to keep their current bricks and mortar location or locations open, and also staff whatever tent might be there with food and people.
It was not an easy thing to do.
No.
And then you had just this kind of entrenched kind of favorites of what was going on then, you know, where you had these people that worked with the city on a regular, you know, you've got your Eli's Cheesecake, you have all those things. It just wasn't easy for new people to even get in and get involved.
But to all the people who thought initially by changing it, altering it, what they were doing is they were phasing it out, that ended up not being true at all, right? They weren't trying to phase it out. They just wanted to make some changes.
Yeah, no, they definitely redefined what it is. And and by allowing these restaurants to come in for a day, 2-3 days, it really gives them the ability to reach a completely different audience. These are restaurants that people maybe had never heard of, and now they get, you know, a taste portion of it. And the restaurant doesn't have to make that huge investment of time and money.
It shows the city's commitment not only to a successful festival, but also to the restaurant community as a whole. Because what they're doing is they're taking them, putting them on this stage where they're going to have, you know, 100,000, 200,000, however many people are there that day, as potential new clients. And then they're going to go back to whatever neighborhood they're in and help kind of breathe more life into what they're doing over there.
Good. Very, very good. It's Hannah and Dane from Flavor HD. Read them online, flavorhd.com. That's the website. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great rest of the week.
By the way, Dan Haggerty was Grizzly Adams.
He was Grizzly Adams.
And I was only guessing for the sake of humor that he would be a potential, I think, very likely candidate as a Grape Nuts spokesman.
He looks like a guy who'd enjoy some Grape Nuts.
Yeah, right. I'm just saying.
And the Brownie Paper Tall guy, too.
He's still alive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Give him a call.
All right. Thanks, guys.